Hello, welcome to St. Paul's. I'm so glad you decided to check us out today for church and worship with us. My name is Sally Wallner. I'm the Community Outreach Coordinator. And normally I'm in here greeting people as they come in, but of course we can't do that right now. So just want to tell you that we're glad that you joined us online. Also, as part of Community Outreach, we have mobilized a community response team doing some great things with some awesome volunteers. They've been doing things like doing grocery runs for people or grabbing them medicine. We also are organizing a food drive this coming Sunday. So if you would like to, you can come between the hours of 1 and 4 on Sunday, April 19th, and you can drop off a bag of food outside your car. We'll have volunteers here that can grab it from you. You can also make monetary donations, or if you want to drop off your church offering, you can do that too. We'll have places for that. So if you wanted to get involved in our community response team, you could just email us through our contact form on our website. So that's the best way to do it. Also want to tell you the best way to keep up on what we're all doing at St. Paul's is to join our Facebook pages. We have one for St. Paul Muskego and the Bridge Muskego. So you'll see all of the latest and greatest things we're doing on those pages. And again, enjoy your worship. May God bless you. And we can't wait to see you again.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Bonach, one of the pastors here at St. Paul's. It's good to have you with us today. It's awesome that we can still worship together, but one of the sad things, of course, is that we can't actually be together. We, as your pastoral team, want you to know that we are definitely here for you, praying for you. And certainly, if you have any kinds of needs at all, please just contact us. The best way to do that is to call the church office, and you can get a hold of any one of the pastors through their extension numbers. They'd be on the call address, and then also, or just leave a message with one of the secretaries there, and they'll get that to us as well. Wanted to say as we start this worship service, just a big thank you to everyone who got back to us. Many, many encouraging words about our Holy Week services. We're really happy that they were able to serve you in such a powerful way. And to find out how many people they did serve, literally thousands of people watching these services from one end of this country to the other. So that's awesome. And I think what is really awesome is that you, too, are part of making that happen, your gifts and continued support for our ministry here at St. Paul's. And so just again a reminder to continue that support. There's a couple different ways to do that. You can either place your offering into an envelope and mail it to us here at St. Paul's, or you can give online at stpaulmuskego.org /give, and that's another opportunity to do that. So I hope you have a great worship today.
Hi, thanks for coming to worship with us. I'm Pete Panitsky. I have the privilege of sharing God's word with you in the sermon today. And we are beginning a sermon series during this Easter season called If Then. That whole idea that if it is true that Jesus has risen, the tomb is empty, then it makes all the difference in the world. And that's really what the Apostle Peter was talking about throughout his first letter. So that will be our focus, 1 Peter, throughout the next few weeks. Today, we're going to be celebrating the fact that if Jesus has risen, then the scattered church lives in hope. God bless your worship.
Thank you. Christ has died, away with sin and sorrow. My love, the crucified, has sprung to life this morrow. And Christ, who once was slain, that burst his grief. Whose faith had been in vain, but now is Christ arisen, 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 but now is Christ arisen. Death's cloud has lost its chain since Jesus crossed the
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, when confronted with the news of Jesus' resurrection, Thomas couldn't believe it. He had to see Jesus for himself. He had to see and touch Jesus' scars to make sure they were real, because it is in the reality of the resurrection that one finds true hope.
We can understand Thomas' struggle. In our own moments of spiritual doubt, we've longed for some tangible evidence of God's presence. We've wanted God to prove to us that he will keep his promises.
Our faith struggles are evidence of the spiritual weakness that afflicts us. Yet just as Jesus reached out to Thomas to meet him where he was at, so Jesus comes to us today to assure us of his love, his forgiveness, and his guiding presence in our lives. Let us therefore humble ourselves before God and confess our sin.
Holy and merciful Father,
I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
God
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given us his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, through your death and resurrection, you lift up this fallen world from the despair that sin and death bring.
Lift us up through your forgiving love. Fill our hearts with hope and joy.
We pray, Jesus, in your name, for you live and reign with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. First lesson for this weekend comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. It is a portion of Peter's sermon on Pentecost, where he gives witness to Jesus' resurrection, both through the prophetic witness, the visions that the prophets had, and also through the apostolic witness, the eyewitness. Acts chapter 2, first of all, verse 14a. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Then dropping down to verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the psalm of the day, Psalm 16, a great psalm of resurrection. We will sing the psalm antiphonally. The men will sing the first line of each verse, and the women respond with the second line. We'll all join together in the refrain, and the glory be to the Father. The gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. A week had passed since that first Resurrection Sunday, and the disciples, I guess, were under their own stay-at-home order, not because someone else had told them, but because of their own fear. But Jesus, in his great love and compassion, appears to them and comforts them with the truth of his presence. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hand. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue now by singing the hymn of the day, hymn 415, "Be Still."
Still my soul, the hour is
My dear sisters and brothers in Christ, scattered throughout the Milwaukee area, and by the virtue of our online presence, scattered all over the country and literally all over the world, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it is hard to be a scattered church, isn't it? But we are not the first scattered church. The church has been scattered by persecution in the past, by pandemics far worse than COVID-19, and simply by distances that are insurmountable. And today we are beginning a study of a letter that is written to a scattered church. The Apostle Peter is writing to Christians who are scattered all over what is today Turkey. And as he writes to these Christians, he helps us understand the if-then that we're looking at during this Easter season. If Jesus has risen from the dead, then it makes all the difference in the world. And that's what we're going to be looking at as we work our way through Peter's first letter. Now, we begin with if. If Jesus has risen from the dead. And I just want to say that as the Apostle Peter was writing this letter, that if was not a question. He had no question in his mind that Jesus had risen from the dead. You see, the Apostle Peter had been there in Caiaphas' courtyard when Jesus was condemned to death by the Sanhedrin. And Peter was one of the first to run out to the tomb. And he looked inside and he saw the linen folded up nicely. It was not the scene of grave robbers. Peter was there when Jesus appeared to him personally and privately that Sunday afternoon to reassure him. And Peter was there when Jesus appeared to all the disciples Easter evening and he said, you know, touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see I have. He was there a week later when Jesus said, not just to doubting Thomas, but to Peter and all the other apostles, you know, put your finger here, stop doubting, put your hand in my side, stop doubting and believe. And Peter was there along the Sea of Galilee one morning for breakfast when the risen Savior reinstated him into the ministry where Jesus said, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. And because he knew that there was no question the tomb was empty, that Peter was ready to hear the words of our Savior warning him that day beside the Sea of Galilee that he would suffer a martyr's death. Yes, in Peter's mind, there was no if. It truly is because Jesus has risen. Because Jesus has risen, then, as Peter begins his letter, we, the scattered church, live in hope. I would encourage you, if you have a Bible handy, to open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read through it now, but then I'm just going to work through this text through the course of the message, and I invite you to be able to follow along. So let's begin at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, so ancient letters always began with the author, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, we as God's scattered church live in hope. A hope that, first of all, unifies us. Oh, we are scattered all over. But we are united because you and I have a common ancestry. We are chosen by the same Father, sanctified by the same Spirit, and sprinkled by the same Son. Peter says, we have been chosen, God's elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, I'll be honest. When I hear this idea that God has foreknowledge, I question him. You know, if God knows things in advance, why have things happened the way they have? You know, you can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and why did God let Satan in that serpent into the garden? And you can go to Wuhan and say, you know, if God had foreknowledge, why did he allow that coronavirus to jump from some animal to the first human? But God doesn't reveal the fact that he has foreknowledge, that he knows all things in advance, so that we can figure him out and stand in judgment over him. He reveals this whole concept of foreknowledge to comfort us. That you are chosen because God the Father, before the creation, knew you personally. This is how infinitely precious you are. Even though we are scattered, we are together, chosen by the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, I mentioned it's before the creation of the world. How do I know that? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about this same thing in Ephesians chapter 1 when he says that in Christ we've been chosen before the creation of the world. And in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul explains that because God has chosen us according to his plan, his purpose, that's why you and I have been called to faith. God didn't look into the future and say, oh, you are going to decide to believe in me. No, he looked in the future and said, I want you and I am going to cause you to believe. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. And when Jesus talks about the end of the world in Matthew 24, he reassures
us who are chosen, God's elect. That even when horrible things start to happen, He is ruling the world with us in mind. I've listed these passages in the group work that's in our worship folder. I would encourage you to download it and work it through with your family, by yourself, or maybe have a Zoom meeting with a small group and just celebrate the fact that we have this in common. We are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And because we have been chosen by that incredible foreknowledge of God, we are sanctified by the same Spirit. Now, what does sanctify mean? Sanctify means that you are set apart for a holy purpose. It's the Apostle Peter in the same letter who tells us in chapter 2 that we are a royal priesthood. You see, when I think about sanctified and set apart for a holy purpose, I think about the high priest of the Old Testament. The high priest of the Old Testament wore a turban, and on that turban was a plaque, a gold plaque that said, "Holy to the Lord." He was set apart for God's holy purpose. That's you. You are sanctified, set apart for a holy purpose, to be a priest. Somebody who shares what you know about God. You see, the priest was the go-between. And I'm just so excited that we are the scattered church, because God is scattering us in ways through, you know, physically scattered, but virtually we are scattering in so many ways in our online presence, because you are sharing things with your friends. You have been set apart for this very purpose. And we are sprinkled by the same Son. You see, sprinkling brings us also back to the Old Testament. At Mount Sinai, when God's people heard the Old Covenant, the Ten Commandments, God ratified that covenant by having Moses sacrifice some animals. And when he read that covenant, the blood of that animal was sprinkled on the people. It was called the blood of the covenant. You and I have the blood of the new covenant sprinkled on us, the blood of the one great sacrifice. Yes, we are set apart for obedience. What greater obedience can we give to our Savior than admitting, "Jesus, I've broken every one of those Ten Commandments. I've broken that old covenant, and I desperately want to be sprinkled by your blood, cleansed of all of my sin." You see, this is the hope that unifies us, even though we're scattered all over. We are chosen by the same Father. We are sanctified by the same Spirit, sprinkled by the same Son, so that you and I have a living, eternal hope. Take a look again at verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope. Hope is one of those things that dies the easiest, isn't it? A loved one dies and hope dies. A relationship dies and hope dies. A crisis comes into our lives and hopes die. But you and I have a living hope, a hope that will never ever die, guaranteed to us, because if Jesus has risen, then we have hope. Now, what is that hope? He says it's an inheritance. I love that word, inheritance. What do you do to get an inheritance? For most of us, nothing. Somebody just loved us enough to put us into their will, and we get an inheritance. It's just a plain, outright gift. You and I live with hope because we have a living inheritance guaranteed to us by Jesus' resurrection. An inheritance, Paul says, or Peter says, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Perish, spoil, or fade. That's all that I know about in this world. Everything I know perishes, spoils, or fades. You know, I am guessing that for an awful lot of high school students, the hope of prom and graduation just perished when Governor Evers signed that decree. Poof. Hopes are gone. Hope spoils. For somebody my age, I haven't even looked at my retirement account. Boy, I'm just afraid to look. Poof. All those great dreams that I had, a lot of them have just spoiled. And hope that fades. For those of you who are in school right now, just be honest with me. On March 13th, when you were told you won't have to come back to school on Monday, you were going, yes! But now after about a month, you're kind of going, you know, this isn't nearly as much fun as I thought. And so what you thought was going to be great, you know, kind of fades, doesn't it? You see, that's part of what makes this inheritance that we are hoping for so special. Because I don't know of anything in this world, any hope that you and I can have that ultimately will not perish, spoil, or fade. But you and I have a hope, it says, kept in heaven for you. I don't even claim to start to understand what the life of heaven will be like, because everything that I've experienced, I know will either perish, spoil, or fade. But what Jesus came out of that tomb to give us is a joy that will never end, never perish, never spoil, never fade. And it's kept for you. It's absolutely safe. Oh, nothing is safe, you would think, it seems right now. Our health isn't safe. Our finances aren't safe. This is safe. It is kept. I think of, like, the Golden Fort Knox. You know, I've never seen the Golden Fort Knox, but reliable people tell me that it's there. I haven't seen the hope of heaven yet, but a reliable person came down to this earth and died so that I could have that hope, and he tells me about it. I know it's there. And just as I know that the gold of Fort Knox, they do everything they can to keep that secure, the eternal God who raised himself from the dead says, I'm going to keep this special gift that I have for you, this inheritance, I'm going to keep it absolutely safe. The devil can't steal it from our Savior. And nothing that happens to you in this world, no sickness, no financial disaster, whatever, can destroy this hope. It is kept safe in heaven for you. You and I share an eternal hope. But if you're like me, you're going, yeah, I know that God, you know, if Jesus is risen, and I believe he's risen, then there's this place in heaven that's just going to be glorious and wonderful. And it's absolutely safe. The devil can't destroy that. Nothing can destroy that, but I might blow it. I might lose it. And so I want you to remember that you have an enduring hope. Peter says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Shielded by God's power. Do you think Peter had any understanding of what God's power did? Well, let me see. Peter was there when Jesus just spoke the word and poof, the sea is calm. Peter was there when Jesus took some bread and just gave thanks and started breaking it and fed more than 5,000 people. Peter was there when he said, hey, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. And this dead guy comes walking out of the tomb, still wrapped in his grave clothes. And he saw the risen Savior too. I think Peter understood what the power of our God can do. If God's power can do those things, can he preserve me? Can he preserve you? You and I can't. Paul warns, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. But God, through Paul, makes a promise there. He says, but God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. It's the same promise that Peter has here. God is going to use his power to keep and protect you. Your inheritance is safe in heaven. And trust God's power to protect you from Satan's attacks and from all the suffering and trials that you go through, so that someday we enjoy that inheritance that's already there prepared for us. Peter goes on, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This hope endures and shines most brightly when we're suffering. You know, Satan accused Job of being a fair-weather Christian. Oh, yeah, he's faithful to you, God, because you're protecting him. You put a hedge around him. But let bad things happen, and he's going to curse God and die. Well, guess what? Satan's not the only one who's thinking that. The people who are around you, who don't share the faith that you have, some of them are thinking that too. Why is it that God in his wisdom says to us, his scattered church, you are going to suffer grief in various kinds of ways? Job loss, your sickness, the sickness of somebody you love. It's because when these trials come, that the genuineness of your faith shines out. And when Jesus comes back, it will result in praise, glory, and honor. Just think how wonderful it will be when you and I join saints who have been part of the scattered church in the past, who have undergone persecution and been scattered and pandemics far worse than what we're experiencing, and we're scattered. But in the midst of those things, they held on to their faith. Won't we just go, wow, isn't it amazing what our Savior could do in their lives? And they'll say the same to us because we have our own struggles. Satan is attacking us in our day and in our culture in different ways than in the past. But if we suffer, it's just a way for our hope to shine out to the people around us. And so he concludes with these words, though you have not seen him, you love him. Peter had seen Jesus. But the people that he's writing to, they are just like us. They were not eyewitnesses. Even though you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that true of us too? We have not seen the risen Savior, but oh, how we love him. His blood sprinkles us, assures us of forgiveness, the promise of protection, the ultimate goal of heaven. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You see, our hope is a glorious hope because it gives us this joy that others won't be able to understand. But if you have the end result of your faith, Peter calls it the salvation of your souls, you and I have reason for joy, no matter what happens. It's not easy. I have a good friend. I prayed with her last night. Her son is living alone with COVID-19. He's at a distance. She's concerned for him. So he is bearing a heavy burden, but so is mom. And it's easy to think, hope is gone. Because this is just one more thing of any number of troubles that this dear friend of mine has gone through. But it was my privilege to remind her that she had this gift, that through Christ, her child has this gift, the salvation of our souls. So troubles will come. Our hopes and dreams for this life, they will certainly perish, spoil, and fade. But you and I have an eternal hope, an enduring hope, a hope that we share as the ones chosen by the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, sprinkled by the Son. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when you get weary of the safer at home or any number of struggles that we go through, come back here. Remember who we are. And that what the Savior rose to give us is absolutely safe. We have it now by faith, and someday we'll see it. I can't wait. And then we won't be the scattered church anymore. We'll all be together before the throne. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I would invite you to join with me in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, our strength, our song, and our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead.
Thanks be to God. You give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
In your compassion, you sent Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life to rescue the lost.
Drive out all doubt and gloom, that we may delight in your glorious triumph.
Lift our eyes heavenward to see him who lives to make intercession for the saints and grant us confidence in the greatness of his power. Keep before us the vision of your redeemed people standing before your throne and singing the song of victory.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive wisdom and power and honor and glory and praise.
Make us instruments of your peace as we bring the good news of hope and new life to those around us. Guide us in the use of all that you have entrusted to us, our time, our talents, and our treasures.
Risen Lord, live in us that we may live for you.
Merciful Lord Jesus, grant healing to the sick and strengthen the faith of the suffering and the dying. Assure them of your abiding presence and comfort them with the hope of eternal life. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, you have restored to us the joy of your salvation. With happy hearts, we come before you and say,
Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Now I have found a firm foundation, which holds my life. My Savior's wound secure, foundation which unmoved shall stay when heaven and earth will pass away.
It is that mercy never ending which human
With prayer. Lord Jesus Christ,
send us out with confidence in your word
to tell the world of your saving acts
and bring glory to your name.
We praise you now and forevermore.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lord, look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.